You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Tom Shane and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And thank you for tuning in to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling, flying solo tonight, but that's okay. We have lots to talk about, lots to go over, as we are now underway in training camp. And the focus of tonight's show is a word that Jets fans have heard a lot lately in the past couple years, and that word is competition, competition, competition. Tonight's focus is all about the competition. Which competition stands out to you the most? Which training camp battle are you most interested in as a fan? Are you still hung up on the fact that there's a quarterback competition? I don't think there is one, but lots of people say that there is. You know, there's a competition at safety, competition at wide receiver. There's really, in terms of a starting job, there's almost a competition at every position right now for the Jets. So we will take a look at the training camps, you know, the biggest competitions out there, who needs to step up the most right off the bat and why. You know, the call line is open tonight, 646-716-4697. We are talking anything New York Jets here tonight. If you want to get something off your chest, the question is out there for everybody is, which competition are you looking forward to the most come training camp, obviously into preseason? You know, what's amazing is the competition you're going to hear about the most is going to be the quarterback one. You know, we've really been waiting almost 11 months now with this quarterback competition, but you're coming to see, when will Rex Ryan announce who his starting quarterback is going to be? You know, usually they say, you know, the old saying in the usual approach is your starter is named after the third preseason game, if you don't have a clear-cut starter, obviously. If you're not, you know, if Peyton Manning's your quarterback, you know he's your starter come week one. So that's obviously something there. But the question is, are you going to name Geno Smith your starting quarterback right off the bat? Week one training camp. Week one preseason. Are you ready to make that jump? Are you ready to make that leap? Or if Geno Smith comes out and has a off start to his camp, preseason doesn't look too hot, do you wait until the third preseason game? Do you potentially wait until the fourth and keep, because the Jets, for some reason, not to say that this is a bad thing, but when the Jets sit together in their room, in their little scheme room that they have at Florham Park, they like to say, how is the best way for us to get a leg up on our opponent? Well, you know, maybe if we wait to tell them who our quarterback is 5 days before we play a game, that might, you know, give us an advantage. I think it's silly. I think, you know, if you want to give a guy a vote of confidence like Geno Smith, say, look, we have an open competition at every position, like they usually say. We have a competition at every position. Geno Smith is still our guy. Geno Smith is the starting quarterback of this team. And if anything changes, you know, that's based on his own performance. Because it's about time you give somebody a vote of confidence. I think that the Jets and their coaching staff will do everything in their power to make sure that Geno Smith is the starting quarterback come week one. Because if Michael Vick is your starting quarterback going into this year, you have taken a giant step back. A giant step back. Josh is on the line. Josh, you are on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I got something that maybe you would like to talk about.
Lay it on me.
Eric Decker, but okay. I have something to say about him that I don't think people brought up. I see him as a mentor role. I actually believe that Stephen Hill, actually, if he makes the team, he could actually be a good player because he has someone to craft his skill to. Which, you know, I haven't, like, since Stephen Hill came to the Jets, who actually he could learn from, or you know, take tips from. So Eric Decker could be a mentor in that way. Our tight end that we just got, and Geno Smith. You know, Peyton Manning throw the ball this way at the highest point when the player is covering me off or something like that, you know. Look what Geno Smith did when they first got Eric Decker. So I actually really think Eric Decker could bring more to the table than catch passes. He could actually play a perfect role. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, Josh, I think that every single player who is at the level that Eric Decker is in terms of, you know, you've been in the league a little while now, you've had you're a successful wide receiver, you're a great talent, I think he should automatically become – I think he should be a mentor, absolutely. I think he's not the type of caliber player that he wouldn't be. I think a guy like Eric Decker should definitely be taking players, especially when the Jets went heavy young wide receiver in the draft. You know, you're bringing in two young guys along with young players there and Curley and Curley and Stephen Hill. If you're Eric Decker – you were not only brought on this team, you know, as to produce as a wide receiver and hope, you know, a number one wide receiver, but you were brought on this team to be a leader of this team. You know, you're getting the big contract. With coming with the big money and the big contract comes more responsibility than catching touchdown passes. They expect you to be a presence in the locker room, a presence on the field, and a presence off the field. So I definitely think you're onto something with him being a mentor, because if he's not, then he's not living up to his expectations that the Jets have for him.
Exactly. I guess happy we're on the same page. And I got one more question now. I'll let you finish the show. The last question is, I have my opinion, and I would love to hear your opinion. Calvin Pryor, Rookie of the Year, defense. And I have a reason why I think we want something with him, too. I just want to hear your take before I say something.
Josh, you think I'm going to yell at you or something like that if you give me your opinion first?
I don't know. I just, you know, I've been listening to your show for a while, so I figure you out
that
a little bit.
I see. But, Josh, I really would love to see Calvin Pryor be the defensive rookie of the year. I think there's a definite potential for that. You know, it sounds to me like he is already stepping into a big role on this team. In terms of taking the job away, that's one of the competitions I was looking at. You know, with the secondary, you look at guys like, you know, Milner out there and Antonio Allen, of course, at the safety position. I think Calvin Pryor could step in and start and be the leader of this defense right off the bat. So is there a potential for him to win Defensive Rookie of the Year? Absolutely. I agree. I think that there's potential there. It's just going to be a matter of how quick does he adapt to playing in a pro-style defense to getting himself on the field. Because I don't think the Jets are gonna, do what they did to him, what they did to Milner. You know, Milner was thrown out in the fire and said, "You're the number two cornerback. Go get him, kid." And you know, he really struggled in the beginning. So I don't think the Jets are gonna throw Pryor out there right off the bat. But if he gets himself onto the field and gets himself into a starting role, I definitely see him as a potential for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Absolutely.
Well, I actually glad we kind of on the same page, and I actually fully agree with you. They not going to toss him out there, but knowing Rex, I think he got a plan for him, and I want you to actually, when this actually happened, I want you to use this phase when you talk about Calvin Pryor, the kill box. You know how they had the defensive front seven?
Yeah.
Right behind the front seven, that's where all the nowadays, everybody likes to pass the ball to the tight end or, you know, a receiver, a slant receiver, right. A slot receiver cutting right there in that little kill box. But if you look at his highlights in college, he actually hit a lot of people in that spot and running and catching. So I believe that one spot that you even see Peyton Manning abuse a lot last year, a lot of quarterbacks going to have problems throwing that area. And I think Rex Ryan done that. You know, weave him into him being a little bit more comfortable and comfortable, and then you will see a lot of him doing more man-to-man, more zone. You know, pretty much I could see Rex Ryan using him like they used him in college. He's that
absolutely
type of player.
Well, you're going to have to use his strengths. You're going to have to use him where, you know, where his abilities are at his best. But again, I don't think the Jets are going to rush him onto the field. I think the Jets are going to let him get a good grasp of this defense and develop into a leader of this team. I don't think they're going to immediately put him right out there and throw him right into the fire. Now, this might be the type caliber player where he might impress everybody and be one of those players where you have no choice but to put him right on the field. He might come out in training camp, and he might come out in preseason, and he might be so dominant where the GM and the coach are going to sit and say, well, why wouldn't I put this guy as a starting safety? Why wouldn't I put him out there, you know, leading the defense and the backfield? So I think that that's the only way that you're going to see this guy right off the bat, is if he is so impressive that he plays himself right into that role that he's looking for. But because I don't think the Jets want to see him get out there and get watch him get burned and burned and burned and develop on the field with certain issues. I think this is the type of player you're going to ease him into a role and ease him into being one of the caliber and one of the leaders of this defense for years to come.
You got enough depth on the charts, so I could see that nice and clear. You don't want another Miller.
No, you don't. You don't want to see. I mean, you saw D. Milliner at the beginning of last year. He looked lost. He was all over the place. He couldn't cover anything. He was getting beat badly. He was getting benched, all on and off the bench. I mean, you don't want to see Calvin Pryor in that situation. So that's what I think. Go ahead.
Real quick though, but Calvin Pryor do have an edge that D. Miller didn't. He didn't
have
injuries coming into the offseason.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what, Josh? It's all in their heads, man. It's all mental. I mean, these guys are coming right out of school. D. Milliner came right out of, you know, was drafted out of Alabama after the Jets just traded the best cornerback in football. So your expectation for this guy was, okay, we got rid of Revis. Here comes Revis number two. And he gets thrown right on the field, and what happens? He disappoints you. So then you sit there as a Jet fan and say, okay, this guy's not even a shell of Darrell Revis. We're screwed. And you get to the point where at the end of the year, then you're saying, okay, this guy's coming around. You know, he's starting to play well. Why? Because the Jets took the time. They took him off the field for a little bit. Then they moved him, slowly progressed him on throughout the year and developed him into a good player towards the end of the season. Now, he can come into this year and get right back. He can go backwards or he can go forwards. That's going to be up to him because this is D. Milliner's secondary right now. He is the guy. There's nobody else. Cromartie's not walking through that door. Darrell Revis is not walking through that door. They're gone. So the man is going to be D. Milliner. So he doesn't have that luxury of being a rookie. Calvin Pryor has the luxury of saying, okay, let me grasp the defense. Let me grasp what's going on. If I can improve myself and get myself onto the field in a starting role, I've exceeded my expectations so far. Now, come week 6 or 7, you'd like to see more of Calvin Pryor. You'd like to see him progress throughout the year into a starting role. But, again, you don't want to see the Jets throw a guy out there only to watch him regress instead of progress.
Unless they have to. In this case, they don't. They got enough talent in that position.
Right, exactly. I mean, and like I said, you know, it's not – there's nothing wrong with Calvin Pryor taking a step back and getting – you know, and getting his feet wet by getting subbed in and out to start. You know, I mean, like you said, you know, he could walk on to preseason and just light it up and be so dominant where you can't ignore a guy like that. That's the only way, because I don't want to see the Jets make the same mistake they did with Milliner last year. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Anyway, nice talking to you. I've been still listening on your show. Don't kick me off this time. I mean, listening.
I never kick you off, Josh. What are you talking about?
Oh, no, you said last time we talked, you you said, okay, blah, blah, blah. I'm listening to the show. Next thing you know, I heard the dial tone.
Oh, man. Well, I would never do that to you, Josh. I appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a blessed day and go Jets.
That's right. Thank you, Josh. All right, we are going to take a quick break. We come back. We're going to keep talking competition. Let's talk about the offensive competitions. We'll talk about the quarterback, and we'll talk about the running back and the wide receiver competition back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity, seize everything you ever wanted. One moment that you captured, just let it slip. Yo, his palms are sweaty.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? Well, the Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I am going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Here live on Jet Nation Radio. Lots to talk about tonight. We're going to move over into the offensive competitions. But before we do that, we have Courtney on the line. Courtney, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. What's going on?
Not much. You're just flying solo tonight. So I figured I'd call a little early.
Me? No. What's going on?
Nothing, you know, I'm calling with Post of the Week. I'm pretty excited. Football's finally here.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Cortland, and we have some coverage up there. We're going to have some live tweeting going on. So
there you go.
Yeah. You know, it's back. I'm excited.
Are you venturing up there?
No, I'm not. I have work cramping my lifestyle.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know.
What are you
gonna
do?
Yeah, exactly. I'll probably go to Florham. Watch there. But
there you go.
A little closer and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this is a bittersweet post.
There we go.
Do I have music? No, it's good. Listen, it's good. So there's a newbie that joined. Still do.
Go ahead.
He's under Jet's brother, and he started his own, topic in the forums, and it's called Jets Fan Crash Course, which I thought was interesting. Yeah, it's interesting because, some people I think still maybe need one. But basically, unfortunately, his father recently passed away, so my condolences to that.
Sorry to hear that.
And everyone was nice about it in the forums, which is very surprising, I'm still going to say. No, they were very nice about it, but basically he was saying that everyone in his family likes football, except for him, but he is taking the place of his father, and he decided to, I guess, like football and learn football, and he chose to be a Jets fan.
Poor man.
And he asked everyone in the forums for help, like a Jets crash course. So I thought that was really cool and really interesting, and that just goes to show that we are an accredited site.
Absolutely.
I repeat, we are an accredited site, and people come to us for help. So...
Man, you're really trying to make yourself feel good in this post of the week more than there's a lot of self-promotion here.
Well, listen, I just think it's really cool because I read through and everyone has been really nice and helpful. So, welcome, Jet's brother. Don't leave the site. It's cool. And from what I read, you should actually listen to everyone's recommendations. So welcome to Jet Nation and hope to see you at a game.
Very, very nice, Courtney.
I try. I'm not always sarcastic. So.
What
anyway,
else you got?
Not much, really. I'm just, you are
not on top of your game.
I am on top of my game. I've been, listen, those that are quiet and that fly under the radar.
Did you hear at 4:27 that the Jets, this is something that you, this is like...
Yeah,
a,
no,
this
no,
is
no,
a,
no, the right, the right, the pass rusher. I know. Is that what you're going to say? What?
This is like a, Courtney Arillo news break that she should have been, I wanted to talk about this, but I got nothing. How about the Jets bringing out reward points for their fans for getting penalties and burning timeouts and 2-minute warnings and stuff like that? You have no idea what I am talking about.
No, the two things I read today
to win the game.
I read the whole thing about rewarding long-time ticket holders.
Here's what the Jets came out with today, and I think it's absolutely awesome, to be honest with you. This is the post. When a visiting team commits a false start penalty or burns a timeout before the 2-minute warning because of crowd noise, the fans attending the New York Jets home game will receive rewards points, which could lead to Go ahead.
No, I was like, no, you're right. I did not hear that. Okay.
Yep. That could lead to a seat in the owner's suite or a ticket on the team plane for future away games.
Imagine if Seattle has that.
The perk is part of an incentive program for season ticket holders. Basically, what the Jets are doing is they're eliminating paper tickets for season ticket holders, and you're going to receive like a wallet-sized smart card, which is going to be able to redeem rewards on it for fans attending the game, showing up on time, if you're on time for the games, and being loud. This way they can accumulate much points. It's like a frequent flyer program, and the points can be redeemed for fixed value items or fan experiences, such as participating in the pregame JETS chant on the field. Those that rack up a lot of points can bid for a seat in Woody Johnson's box or the Super Bowl tickets. The Jets have launched a program to make the game day experience more enjoyable for the fans and to reward fans' loyalty. And, of course, they won't mind, obviously, with the home field advantage as well. So I think this is really cool. I think this is just the Jets' way to be adding fan incentive and obviously for season ticket holders. So you're looking at now, it's almost like a little credit card you're going to get for season ticket holders. And it's going to be like a JetBlue rewards program.
I read half of that. I didn't read all of that. I did read that, like, you know.
You're not on top of your game.
Well, because what?
You're not on top of your game.
No, I am on top of my game, but I also have like 20 windows open on my desktop at work.
Here we go.
Did you read the small disclaimer? Did you read the fine print? That
no.
Said, read the fine print?
No.
That said, unless you're a member of Jet Nation.
So, Cordy, what's your opinion on that?
It's really good. I know they're really trying to go crazy with the fan experience. I think they were actually trying to start that last year, and that's why they had Woody Johnson going around. That's why they had to get the players walking off the bus. And when I was reading half of that, the half that I did read was that they were saying for the first
half work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was a half day. I can't curse.
Like a half week. What you were about
okay.
to say. And
yeah,
absolutely,
exactly.
You're 100% right.
So, now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, they were saying that they're kind of the first team in the, to do this, but I think other teams are trying to, you know, broaden the fan experience. But, no, I mean, it's no surprise coming from the Jets. I think
they're trying to sell more season tickets.
Yeah, because we all know we're having an issue with that, so whatever works. I mean, I think it's great.
Are you a season ticket holder, Courtney?
No, I'm not.
Wow.
I might be this year. Let's just leave it at that. But I'm not.
Where are you getting your tickets on the lights?
Listen, I'm a fly by night girl. Let's just put it that way. My father used to be.
A fly-by-night girl. This in for everybody out there on Twitter. Courtney Arillo is a fly-by-night girl. Can we get that? Can we get that on the Jet Nation Radio Twitter account, please? And tag her in it. I want everybody to know, especially all the guys that were in her little connection the last couple of weeks that were looking at her and tweeting at her. Let everybody know she's a fly-by-night girl, according to her. That's coming directly from her too. So.
I live on the edge of my seat.
Just keep going. Just keep giving material. That's fine.
I'm on the edge of the PSL seat. No, it's
I'm a week to week person as well. I go to games. I think season tickets are great. I think season tickets. They're trying to add more perks to it, but you know this is a fan show. So, you know, by our opinions, we can talk about a fan experience. I'm a big sucker.
I mean, we can bump this time slot up to 12 p.m. and then totally change about how we need to get the tickets. No, I'm totally joking. No.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen, football hasn't started yet. We've got 12 more hours.
Oh, my goodness. But I think I like getting tickets the day of. That's when usually I get my tickets. So I'm a I guess
oh, wow.
I'm.
Oh wow! So you're that's see I can't do that.
Oh my goodness! I'm a fly by the night seat of.
But that's
my,
that's a risk. I like to plan my excursions.
That's the cheapest way to get tickets. If you're a Jets fan out there, here's a little hint and a little tip for you all if you're trying to get your tickets. The best time to get Jets tickets is the day of the game. Make your plans, do everything but the ticket. You can get tickets up until 10 minutes before game time on StubHub. That's the way I get tickets. I get them last minute. They're cheaper. I actually, if you want to know my Patriots story, Courtney, since we're talking about tickets here, I went to visit my friend at West Virginia University last year, the day before the Jets were playing New England in the home game when they won with the field goal, and I left West Virginia. We went to bed at 3:30 in the morning. I left West Virginia at 4:30 in the morning and drove right in from West Virginia at 4:30 in the morning into MetLife Stadium, bought a ticket on the way at 12 o'clock for $80, sat behind the end zone, and got into that game.
Oh, that's good. No, that's good. It's luck.
That's not luck. It's strategic planning.
That's okay, strategic planning.
Thank you.
Well, that's a guy's way of strategic planning. That's a whole other show. We can't get into that.
Courtney, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to do you have any more breaking news or anything like that? Because I'm going to take
breaking news.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have other callers. We're going to take
No. I'm gonna take a commercial break, and when I come back, how about you stick around and we talk a little offensive training camp competitions? Does it sound good?
That sounds good.
All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back. It's going to be me and Courtney here on Jet Nation Radio talking training camp and the competitions on the offensive side of the ball. Back after this.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media.
Media.
From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? Then the Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Radio, and here are your hosts, Tom Shane and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And you are listening to Jet Nation Radio. I am your host, Brandon Dowling, and of course, joining us here for the for a little bit for the duration of the show here is JetNation.com's own Fly by the Night type girl, Courtney Arillo, who is here to talk about competition with us. And Courtney, I know you wanted to start off with the offense and talk about running back, so take it away.
Yeah, basically, you know, there's more than three, but they're just talking about the main three. And the popularity vote is for Chris Johnson, but I think it's going to be Ivory starting. I mean, I don't think he's going to be, like, a starter. I think there's definitely going to be rotation, but I'm all about Ivory. What do you think?
I think that you're wrong.
Yeah, well, a lot of people do, but okay, go ahead. I'm used to this.
I think that Ivory was used last year perfectly. I think Chris Ivory is a guy that's going to wear down your defense, and when he's going to come in, you're not going to be expected for a guy like that. I think that's when you saw last year, you know, Chris Ivory didn't really take a bulk of the carries. He's I don't want to say an injury-prone type back, but he's a brutal runner. He's a downhill, you know, hit him hard running back. I think Chris Johnson is coming in here with a big chip on his shoulder, and I think he's going to impress a lot of people with the Jets. I really do. I think he's going
to
be there.
We're back to the chip.
Oh, here we go. I forgot about that. But, yeah. So, I think Chris Johnson is a prime example of a guy who knows how much he has left in the tank. I think Chris Johnson actually is going to be the best addition from this offseason that the Jets made. I think he's going to really surprise people and become so effective in their running game because he's a game changer. He is the Jets' game changer on offense, where he can take one carry and turn it into seven. And that's what's going to make him the starting running back of this team. And because I think he's just going to take that role over away from these guys. Because I really do. I think he's got a lot still left to prove to people. Because everybody who says a guy like that is done is just going to make him – it's going to push him even more. And think about this, too. As bad as – go ahead.
You think it's
going to
be a running – yeah, but you think – yeah, but that's if it's going to be an all-running game. I mean, you know.
Right, but here's the thing. You're looking at a guy at Chris Johnson who was he was not healthy last year. He hasn't been back to his form self since he ran for 2,000 yards, and he still has never not rushed for 1,000 yards in a season in his career. That's remarkable. So I think this guy, when he's healthy, he can be a top-producing running back in this league. I really think he's going to take this role and take the bull by the horns and become the Jets' starting running back.
I'm not saying he doesn't have it in him. He just needs to be given the chance to do it.
Right. Well, I think he's going to get that chance in the preseason.
Well, if all of a sudden, you know, Geno's like this breakout quarterback, and, oh, look, you know.
If Geno Smith... becomes a breakout quarterback, I am going to be doing you ever seen the commercial with the Six Flags guy who's dancing outside the bus when they play that song?
The old man, yeah.
Yeah. That will be me if Geno Smith turns into a breakout quarterback. And I won't care about the running back situation because we'll have a breakout quarterback for the first time in my lifetime. So that's beside the point. But I really do. I really think Chris Johnson is going to step into a big role. And I think Bilal Powell feels a little bit disrespected as well. You know, nobody's talking about Powell. And I think he really showed that he has the ability to be a great, you know, a producing running back in this league. And everybody's kind of, you know.
Last year.
Right. And he's really flying under the radar because you have two big-name guys like Ivory and Johnson. So don't count Bilal Powell on sneaking in some carries this year, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I agree. I can see it. I agree.
Well, that's good.
But the prediction's tough, you know. I mean, we're not even at, you know, we still have to cut back our roster, so.
Yeah, I really think that Chris Johnson is going to be one of the big guys, and we're going to say, wow, you know, we really got it. That was this big steal for the Jets. I do. I think he can be something special for this team. But let's shift gears and let's go over to the wide receiver position. Now, you have to think Eric Decker is going to be the number one wide receiver on this team. Is that a mutual agreement here?
Yeah. No, I agree. Him and, you know, Jeremy Curley in the slot, those are the two givens that,
uh-huh.
you know, that I'm not worried about.
Well, Courtney, I have to interrupt you because we have a very big fan of yours on the line who wants to call in about camp competitions. Keith Weston, you are on Jet Nation Radio. What's going on, my man?
Hey, Jet Nation Radio, what's going on? What's going on? I'm just really excited that. Hey, Courtney, how you doing? All right. Oh, I can't complain. I'm really excited because football's finally here. And it's like I waited through basketball, hockey, baseball, World Cup, blah, blah, blah. Now football's back, so I'm, like, really excited.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we suffered through it all, so we're finally here, you know?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But I'm really calling because for this camp, for the competitions that I'm looking at, I'm looking at the running back position, you know what I mean, and the quarterback position. Now, everybody seems like, on being on Twitter, it seems like the majority of people, they'd rather have, like, Michael Vick, you know what I mean? But me, I prefer Geno Smith.
Ah,
just because. Yeah, I mean, just because, you know, he showed us a lot of promise last year, you know what I mean, with the ups and downs. But now that we finally got him some weapons and some skilled players to go with him, you know, especially with Eric Decker, he'll definitely be a great player with Geno. And I can see him as our number one receiver. It's possible.
Yeah. Keith.
I mean, also, I think David Nelson was his big go-to guy towards the end of the season last year.
Yeah. I mean, okay, but you know what? As a matter of fact, Decker could be the number two behind Nelson now that I'm thinking about it because the chemistry from last year can definitely go into this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that. That's a possibility.
Now, Keith, yeah, I got a question for you.
Sure.
It's more important than camp competition. It's more important than Jets talk. This is the hard-hitting questions right here. What do you make of the comment made by our own Courtney Arillo that she is a fly-by-night type of girl?
I don't see anything wrong with that. Honestly, you know what I mean? I'm just really excited for football's back. I can't stress that enough. But
you just gave me the Bill Belichick answer on Jet Nation Radio.
but that's totally accepted. And you know what, too? Speaking, going back to the football talk, another player I think that is being overlooked that I overlooked myself, I'm really excited about, Jason Morrow. I'm so excited to see him on the field. I really am.
Oh, yes. I think between him and Jeff Cumberland, it's going to be really interesting how they, you know what I mean, work them two together.
Yeah.
I definitely think so, too. I mean, I think it's going to be a big-time competition. Keith, I appreciate you calling in to check in with us, buddy. It's always good to hear from you every single week.
Oh, yes, sir. Like I said, I try to call in as much as I can whenever I can. I was surprised. I don't think last week y'all didn't have the show on last week.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We had to
clean up some difficulties, but we will be back week in and week out. You can expect that, all right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, I can't wait. I'm just really excited. I'm on Twitter putting all kind of stuff up there, and people are like, come on, Keith, you're doing too much. I'm like, what do you mean? It's the football time.
That.
It's like a holiday. It's like a holiday. So
you don't need that type of negativeness in your life, man. Just ignore it and move on.
Right. You know, it ain't nothing negative, because I know everybody's like, oh, gee whiz.
No.
But, you know, it's football time. You know, everybody got their time to do
their
thing.
No, please.
It's a football fan.
Already. I'm sick of the other sports. Football.
Yeah. Thank you, Corey. Oh, my God.
There's only 927 games left of baseball. We'll start talking about football because I'll be over before you know it.
Now, see, Courtney, that's why you're my girl, Courtney. That's why you're my girl. That's right. Now, I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying, you know, it's my own girl, my buddy, you know, like that. So, we cool, man. That's why I enjoy calling y'all and talking, just a radio period, because living in Pittsburgh, I don't get that.
I
get a lot of Steelers talk.
We always appreciate your support.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Y'all have a good one, and let's go Jets.
That's right, Keith. Keith, hold on. You still there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Right, I'm gonna pump you up a little bit for the rest of your night. Hold on one sec.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, that's what I'm talking
better?
About. That's it.
All right, Keith. Thanks.
All right. All right, Jet Nation. Later.
Bye. Talk to you soon.
All right, that was Keith, and now we are going to go over to Jess, who wants to talk about Jason Morrow. You are on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys?
Fantastic. How
Hi.
Are you?
Hey, I just wanted to ask you guys one quick one about how you guys feel about Jason Morrow, the new tight end from Texas Tech, and how he can either help out Geno or Vic, whoever it may be, in the passing game.
Well, this
I
is
was
another...
just talking about how I'm excited about him.
Go ahead, Courtney. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Real quick. I was saying earlier how I'm excited about him. I feel like that he's being overlooked, and I think he's going to be a real big help for the Jets. I think he's one of the better additions to the offense, and I think he's definitely going to be in for the long run.
Yeah, he can. When I looked at his college tape, you know, he seems like he can go up and get the ball pretty well. I think he can be a real great weapon for them.
Right. But here's the thing, another thing that you're looking at with this guy, too, is this is another competition that I'm looking at. You're looking at is this the type of player that's going to step onto the field and have an immediate impact? Is this the type of player that's going to walk on, you know, and immediately have a starting role? I think so. I think he's going to be an impact player, and I think he could take the starting tight end job right off the bat.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think he can definitely give the guys a little run for their money.
Yeah, and that's a big tight end competition as well. And that's something that I wanted to get to because, you know, we're talking about running back competitions, we're talking about wide receiver competitions. Jason Morrow is coming in here to take that tight end job right off the bat. You know, the Jets last year, Cumberland, you know, had some good moments for the Jets last year, but I don't see him right now as we sit here today, as a guy who is going to be a breakout tight end. Jason Morrow is definitely a breakout tight end. He's a breakout offensive talent. So if he can immediately step in and take that role, I think he might be the rookie out of this draft class that is going to produce the most, more than Pryor, more than Evans, more than Saunders, more than anybody. I think he could be the rookie that has the biggest impact right off the bat, right in training camp.
He's definitely filling that void.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, guys. You're doing a great job. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Courtney, I bring you on, and we get the phone lines start flooding. This is a great trend that you're bringing to Jet Nation Radio.
Oh yeah, right. I try. Yeah.
If you're not gonna keep up with your Jets news and not have your points ready, you know, you might as well just, you know, bring some attention to the callers out there.
Yeah, there you go. Well, imagine if I was on point.
So before we wrap it up, we got about 10 minutes left in the show here. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling along with Courtney Arillo from JetNation.com. You know, the big competition, obviously everybody wants to talk about, is the quarterback competition. You want to talk about the quarterback. The quarterback's the biggest position on the field. Everybody wants to talk quarterbacks. Personally, I don't see there being a competition here unless Geno Smith falters so badly that they can't justify putting him on the field. The Jets front office knows they want Geno Smith as their quarterback. The offensive players know they want Geno Smith as their quarterback. The fans know they want Geno Smith as their quarterback. If Geno Smith is not your starting quarterback come week one, then it is 150% on Geno Smith for dropping the ball and regressing so much that they have no choice but to make this a competition and put Michael Vick in. What do you think?
That I totally 100% agree with. I agree with the statement. I don't want to see it happen. I do want Geno Smith. Again, I said it in the past. I don't see a franchise quarterback on the roster right now. But to get us through this year, yeah, I do see Geno.
Oh, you're not bringing up the M word, are you?
No, I must. Hey, you know, you guys keep doing it to me. I didn't say anything.
You just gave like a nice message right there.
You're making it worse. Nothing is subliminal. Nothing. I'm just saying I don't see.
You're not going to post like a week
keep
one.
Doing it.
But you're
oh
not
going to
hold on
I'm
a second. You're
anything.
Not going to post.
You're the one saying it.
You're
listen,
not going to post like
I would
a week
love
one.
To see, you know,
Corona
to
picture,
see.
Right?
What?
We're not going to get one of those again when you're, you know, posting your drinking your sorrows away in a six-pack of beer or something like that. When
stalker status. I'm just saying what I see. That would be awesome to see Gino, you know, go more than 8-8 this year. And with the weapons, I don't see why not. So, but, you know, we drafted a quarterback, so we'll see what happens. That's all I'm going to say. Do I want Vic to start? No. And like I said, he's so injury-prone. He's injury-prone. I don't even see him play more than three
right,
games
but it's
anyway.
Not,
so
but it's not about
on.
That. It's not about that, though, Courtney. It's not about that. It's the fact of when you where the Jets organization is right now, you cannot have a guy like Michael Vick as your starting quarterback. You have a young team. You're developing young talent. You're developing young weapons on offense.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You have to keep your young quarterback in there. And, again, Geno Smith is better than Michael Vick. You know, I'm not going into that discussion again because I don't have enough Tylenol in my my drawer over here. So
no,
that's
he is better. I think he's better.
Of course he is. So you're not going to sit here and you're not going to – it's Geno Smith's job to lose. So I really don't think there is a competition there. Geno Smith is competing with Geno Smith. So if Geno Smith decides to lose the competition, then it's his own fault that he's not playing because there's no way – if Geno Smith plays well, then Michael Vick can outplay him and take the job from him. There's no possible way the Jets will let that happen if Geno Smith is capable of starting for this team. There's no way.
I mean, I don't even think there's much of a debate, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you. But let's move over to wide receivers now. Eric Decker, you know, before the callers came in, we were jumping over to wide receivers. Eric Decker, obviously the clear-cut number one guy. Now you're looking at a competition for the number two and three wide receiver position. Who do you see being the number two wide receiver on this team come week one of the season through training camp?
Oh, do we want it to be Stephen Hill? I don't. Jeremy Curley, and as I said earlier, I like what I saw from David Nelson last year.
I don't. You know, to be honest
but
with you,
I don't even know.
I don't even know if David Nelson is going to be on the team come week one.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know because you have so many. So many new guys. Oh, really? God, no pressure. All right, here we go. Pulling it out of the hat. Jacoby Ford.
Jacoby Ford?
I just picked one out of the hat. No, okay. Yeah, I don't know. The drum roll threw me off. Who do you see?
Who do I see as the Jets' number two wide receiver this year? Jeremy Curley,
absolutely.
No, I said
absolutely. Number two. No, I said Jeremy Curley.
Number three, I really think that it's, you know, Stephen Hill obviously is a guy that you'd like to see be your number three wide receiver. I love what I've seen out of Shaq Evans in his tapes. I think that guy has some serious talent. At the wide receiver position, he's a big body. He can run. He can catch touchdowns. I mean, there's one issue that they were talking about, you know, is the fact that he drops passes. But let's go to Joe. Joe is joining us here on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, I was listening a couple weeks ago. I was going to call in last couple weeks, but I had work. I have work on Tuesday night, unfortunately. But
you and Courtney both, I guess.
Yeah. But I was hearing a couple weeks ago that you were saying that we botched on Flowers and DeSean Jackson, and I know you have a very strong opinion about it, and you think it's no doubt about it, it's a no-brain move, but I have to disagree. I just wanted to know what you thought about that, because I think for Rex, you call Bob Sutton, you say, how did he do in this, what is good about him, what is bad about him. He can trust Bob Sutton. He didn't play good in a man-to-man defense. So why bring him in, hinder your rookies like McDougal and guys you want to develop like Patterson, hopefully he stays healthy. And then with the Deshaun Jackson thing, we just got out of that whole circus thing where 2010 we were signing free agents, we were signing Bart Scott for huge deals that he didn't deserve.
Yeah.
I was going to be completely honest. If we signed Deshaun Jackson, I was going to be done, but I've been extremely upset with the Jets because I don't want that circus atmosphere. I never want to hear that word around the Jets game again. And bringing DeSean Jackson would have done exactly that. So I just want to know what you think about that.
Well, Joe, I took some heat from some people about my stance on the Brandon Flowers thing, which is okay because I can take it. Here's the reality of that whole situation. You're a general manager in the National Football League. You get paid to build the football team, right? You're going into a season at your cornerback position. Your starting cornerback is a rookie who finished the season strong last year. You're basing him as your best cornerback who had four good games last year. You're bringing in Dimitri Patterson, a guy who you have no idea if he's going to stay on the field or not. And you're going to bring in a rookie who couldn't even stay on the field last year at the University of Maryland. We're not talking big-time school. We're talking about a University of Maryland cornerback who could not stay on the field. So you have a what-if, and another what-if in your secondary. A guy like Brandon Flowers, okay, obviously was struggling big time in the system last year for the Kansas City Chiefs. I get it. Makes sense. You know, you go down, you bring up that whole point, well, you know, he's not a good fit here. Well, here's who is a good fit for the Jets right now. There are no good fits on this team. There's nobody. Hold on a second. There are no good fits on this team. There's nobody right now on this team as a cornerback that you can say, wow, he's a great player. There are none. So what does it hurt? You're going to talk to me about I don't want to see – you are the New York Jets, okay? You play in New York. I don't want to see you develop players on the field and watch them get burned and go 3-13 again. We've been there. You're past that. You're trying to improve a roster and improve a football team. The best way to do that is by at least picking up the phone and calling the agent and asking what he wants. Because you're looking at Brandon Flowers, who got rented to San Diego on a one-year deal, on a one-year incentive contract. Do you know that what that means is if Brandon Flowers goes in there and he looks horrible in the preseason, they can cut him and be on the hook for $1 million. And in football talk, that's pennies. There's no risk. These guys, DeSean Jackson, I'll give you. There's a risk there. But again, you're not even in the mix to sign one of the league's top talents at wide receiver. You're not even calling the agent. That's ridiculous. Go ahead.
See, if he's out there, if DeSean Jackson's out there and you know you don't want him, even if he wants $500,000,
I don't
care.
Why wouldn't you want him? Why wouldn't there was a
there why,
was 14
why,
teams.
Why would you want a guy who's
there
throwing up trip signs and a guy who is supposedly is in is
did you see DeSean Jackson's numbers last year?
I don't. Yeah, but see, I don't care. I don't care about his numbers because But you know, I don't think you understand that it's the team who wins. It's a team game. That's why we had a sucky team last year. But we played the team because everybody believed in Rex. We wanted him to come back, so we started
but
the
again,
team.
You
when you
are
guys
not
like Antonio Holmes,
your roster
have,
is not
guys,
good enough.
Have guys like
your roster is not good enough to not find out what these guys want. What can I ask you a question? What is the and I don't want to harp on it because it's over with. But there is none. The answer is there is. There is no risk. There is no risk in signing, and for what San Diego gave Brandon Flowers, there is no risk in that deal. He could go in there, he could look brutal, he could go in there and be a terrible player. They could cut him tomorrow and be on the hook for nothing. Your risk is because you don't want to hurt developing of young players who couldn't even stay on the field in college?
See, but Dexter McDougal, I'm not worried about his injuries. He injured his shoulder. It's not like he injured his ACL or his MCL or he injured something like that.
We're
he injured his shoulder.
We're talking about a cornerback from the University of Maryland.
Wasn't John Isaac a part of the team who drafted Richard Sherman in the fifth round? So I think he knows what he's doing a lot better than me and you combined.
I hope that the Jets right now are fine at the cornerback position. I hope going into the season that D. Milliner plays you know, a lot better than expected and builds off last year. I hope that Dimitri Patterson steps into a role and stays healthy. And I hope that Calvin Pryor takes over the safety position and you're looking at a solid group of guys in that secondary. But that's all we have. For this secondary, the only thing you can do is hope because we have no guarantees right now. None.
But last year, Cromartie, I could probably come in and play almost as good as Cromartie.
But Cromartie was hurt the entire year last year. But he was hurt.
He was one of the worst corners in the NFL.
He was hurt the entire year. But he was hurt.
It doesn't matter.
You
have Brandon Flowers, who you know is not a fit to your defense. Why are you going to call him and
who's
hurt?
A fit?
What?
Who is a fit?
Patterson. He's good at locking up. D. Milner was excellent at the end of the year.
So goes out for the year in week three?
Okay, then Darren Wall steps in like he did last year, and he played solid during his last game.
Would you rather have Darren Wall than Brandon Flowers?
Yes, because Brandon Flowers was god awful last year.
Right.
I watched some of his games after you were talking about it.
I will do a agree to disagree on that one. I don't think Darren Walls is better than Brandon Flowers, and that's just my opinion on that.
See, but the thing with Darren Walls is it's an unknown. You don't know how good he could be if he
the entire secondary
role.
Is an unknown. The entire but secondary
it's,
is an unknown.
It's less of an unknown than last year because Cromartie was garbage. Landry's slow. Allen was still developing. We have a better secondary than we did last year.
So you wouldn't have brought Antonio Cromartie back for 1 year, $2 million?
1 year, $2 million?
That's what he got in Arizona.
Obviously, they knew something that we didn't, that he had a lingering hip issue. You can't say that they didn't know because you don't know.
Okay.
We can do better than we did last year if me and you were the corners. That's what I'm saying. We can't get much worse.
Joe, I'm more of a lineman type guy. I can't keep up with those wide receivers.
Okay, exactly. Neither could Cromartie.
I'll sack the quarterback. You can pick up the outside for me.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think we're in the Super Bowl this year. I think we're going to be 9-7
That's a realistic expectation. But as a fan, you want to see the best way to improve your roster any way that you possibly can. I think the Jets, and I think John Idzik did that. You saw last year bringing in guys like Ed Reed. No risk. He didn't impress anybody last year. He didn't play that well. But guess what? Was there a risk in bringing him in? No. Willie Colon.
But in the long run, you don't think that hurt Antonio Allen's development? You don't think if
no,
he could have played those six
no,
games that
I,
he could have got more
I
experience?
No, I don't. I think watching Ed Reed play and learning and watching one of the best free safeties of all time and being able to experience game situations with one of the best of all time is better than going out there and watching Tom Brady throw touchdowns over your head.
He definitely did get beat a lot when he's here. I trust, so do I.
I think the Jets right now are on the course to success. I do. But I would like them to look at options the best way. And this is a fan perspective. Again, like you said, they know better than me and you combined. Agreed. That's his job. He's a general manager in the National Football League. But as a fan, if you're sitting here going, my team is starving for cornerbacks, okay? And the Jets are. Regardless, if you want to disagree with that, that's fine. The Jets right now are still starving for cornerbacks. They didn't see any that they really liked this offseason, which makes me scratch my head a little bit. But the Jets are still in need of a solid cornerback for this team because in the long run, Dimitri Patterson is not an option, okay? And you have no idea what you're going to get out of McDougal, and you have no idea what you're going to get out of Milner. So I hope that these guys come in here and they play fantastic. And they're right off the bat, and they prove me wrong. But if I was putting on my fan GM hat, I'm trying to improve this roster with no risk signings like those cornerbacks that can come in and improve. And guess what? If Brandon Flowers comes in and he's god awful, like you said he was, and like he was last year, you can cut him with no risk involved whatsoever. That's where I'm coming from on.
Yeah, see, I think bringing Flowers would be like a very Mike Tannenbaum like move. Just like
Brandon Flowers would have been a John Idzik type move because all John Idzik has done the past 2 years is piece together positions like this with 1 year contract with veterans. That's what he's been doing.
But what option did he have last year? Tannenbaum left him in $20 million of debt that he had to.
Right, and I thought he did a great job. I thought he did a great job. I thought he pieced together a great job by mixing in his rookie with some veterans. I just thought that they could have done more in this in helping the secondary, and that, you know, apparently they're confident in the guys that they have there. So let's see what happens, and I hope for the best as a fan. I really do.
Hey, see, I agree. I don't think our secondary is going to be amazing. As long as it's mediocre with the front seven we have, we don't need an amazing secondary.
Right.
There's not one team in the NFL you can say that they don't have one weakness. It's not possible. It's not realistic.
Right, and I think that the Jets are building their team, obviously, as you can see, up front rather than where they were built before, which is in the backfield.
Yes, and now our offense will also be actually able to get a couple first downs a game instead of going four and out 35 times in a row. So our defense will actually be able to rest. So I believe that will hopefully. I'm not too sure, but I think we could be a top five defense again this year. So
I hope so, Joe. I really do. I hope so. I hope that these cornerbacks come in and they prove me wrong. That, you know, I really thought that they should have added somebody. They think, you know, they're comfortable with what they have. As a fan, you hope for the best. And you know, I agree with you. I think that right now, with the team, with the corners that they have, with the front seven that they have, I mean, that their front seven can cover up, like they did at times last year, for a okay secondary. I think that his front seven masked some issues.
Yeah. See, one last thing. I think that the competition there. This year, I'm more optimistic than even I was in 2009, 2010, because I knew. I've seen the contracts that he gave, the backloaded contracts. I knew he was screwing us over for years to come. The thing that we actually have this year that we haven't had, and I honestly can't remember how long, is we have competition. So you don't have guys like Stephen Hill saying, oh, whatever, I'm a second-round pick, I'll start. You don't have guys like Kyle Wilson saying, I'm going to be in the slot no matter what, 'cause there's nobody behind me. This year we have about nine corners that I can name that could make the team. So if Dimitri goes down or Dexter McDougal falters, we have guys who can come in and who can play the position at least decently well. Cromartie was awful. If they play decent, our secondary will upgrade dramatically because
let's see what happens. It's a matter of, you know, you hope that the Jets have that hidden diamond in the rough cornerback who can step in and you know, step up and be an immediate impact that, you know, that me and you wouldn't know off the top of our head, like a Richard Sherman type.
Yeah, but maybe a guy like from the Patriots. I think he's a first round pick from the Patriots a couple years ago. Roz Dowling. You never know. You know.
He's got the best last name on the Jets, Joe.
Yeah.
Hi, Courtney. You're still here? You didn't fall asleep?
Yeah. No, it's your show, man. Take it away.
Well, Joe, I appreciate the call, and I hope you are right. I really do.
Okay, have a good day, guys.
Thank you. That was Joe from Jersey talking about free agents. Courtney, we are about to wrap it up here. You have any final points before we close it up here on Jet Nation Radio?
No, I guess we'll find out some more this week. I'm just excited. And we'll talk about it next week.
Courtney, make sure you hit refresh on your Jets news feed, okay? So next time we talk next week, we're nice and prepared, okay?
Yeah, okay. I'll do that.
Thank you so much for sticking around and help taking the calls and giving some feedback. Yeah, you were great, and I really appreciate it.
Definitely. Thank you.
All right, and I want to thank everybody out there. Thank all the callers. I want to thank Jerry behind the scenes taking calls, and I appreciate everything. And we will see you guys next week, and thank you for listening to Jet Nation Radio. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.